You're listening to the most dangerous show in Texas, Fight Night, on 104.9 The Horn.
Wherever you are, however you may be listening, it is now Fight Night. Welcome to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn, the kickoff hour of your delayed Wednesday warfare. I'm your host, Eddie Crush. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at EddieExperience1E in the middle. And joining me this week from the East Coast for some reason, Mr. Jordan Wahlberger. Jordan, what are you doing out there?
Eddie, good evening. And, happy Thanksgiving Eve to everyone out there listening. It's exciting. We appreciate you joining us 1 hour later on Wednesday Warfare. But, I'm in Florida. But actually, Eddie, I'm still in the Central Time Zone. I'm in the Panhandle.
Wait.
And I think...
What?
The Panhandle is not all the way in the Eastern Time Zone.
So you're on, the very tip of it?
Yeah, I'm at the very end. So I'm about an hour in Destin, Florida.
Wait. You just blew my mind.
I know. I was surprised. I looked over. I said, "Wait, why are we not? Why are we not in the Eastern Time Zone? Why is the sun setting at 4:45? What's going on?"
And your iPhone didn't change time or anything?
iPhone did not change time. No, it's officially the Central Time Zone. But Eddie, I don't think that people came here to listen to us argue about time zones, Eddie. But how?
Hey,
how
you, you come here to tomorrow. Learn stuff. You come here to learn stuff, and we're teaching people right now.
We're blowing people's minds, Eddie.
That's right.
What? It's Wednesday night. We've got Thanksgiving in the morning. First off, Eddie, are you playing a football game tomorrow?
Playing? No.
Yes. It's a turkey bowl. That's kind of what people do that are active. People who are athletic, they'll go out and they'll play a turkey bowl tomorrow morning.
No, I'm going to be watching games.
Unbelievable.
I've even put them into the calendar on my phone. Let's see. Vikings at Lions. Then yep. Chargers at Cowboys, then the Giants at Washington, not to mention the smorgasbord of college games that are starting. And I will be going to the Texas Tech game on Friday. I'll be back in town.
Good for you.
Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah, it's a good weekend.
So I will
it's
not be back in town. I've been here since Saturday. We drove. We stopped over in New Orleans on Friday night.
That's a good place for kids.
And then we came. So yeah, we were just very quickly. The rest of the morning, we drove back to Destin on Saturday. And, it's been in the sand. The waves are small. It's a little bit chilly. Not typically what I'm used to when I go to the beach, obviously being from Southern California.
Yeah, you're a West Coast guy.
Typically a lot. Yeah, it's a lot hotter when I go to the beach, but you get a little bit bigger waves. But
oh, you're more
bad.
On the Gulf Coast, though, aren't you?
Yeah, we're on the Gulf Coast, Eddie.
Yes, yeah, so and not on the East
thing,
Coast.
Though, I am nervous. So we played, Ultimate Frisbee this week. I've been playing some volleyball. I am nervous to play football tomorrow morning in the sand. My feet hurt. My legs hurt. Running in sand is a whole different experience. And trying to play a real football game, I brought my flags. I brought my cones.
Mm-hmm.
I'm nervous. I feel like I'm going to get hurt.
Yeah, that's why Walter Payton used to work out by running in the sand. That's one of the things that made him so great.
It's a great workout. So, one thing, Eddie, that we have not been doing here, which I wish we had.
What's that?
We've been throwing frisbees. We've been throwing footballs. Mm-hmm. We've not been throwing boomerangs, okay?
No.
Which, it's been a thing over the last week. And if you haven't heard, guys, last week in Australia, the UFC was there for UFC Sydney. You had Fabricio Werdum versus Marcin Tybura. But before that fight happened, there was an incident between Fabricio Werdum and Colby Covington that dealt with a boomerang, where Werdum actually threw a boomerang at Colby Covington, which is the most Australian thing possible. Maybe he would have thrown a koala or a kangaroo, but he throws a boomerang.
And it was still in the bag. Someone apparently gave him the boomerang as a gift. And he's like, if I had anything else in my hands, I would have thrown that too.
So yeah, so for Doom, obviously, we know he's Brazilian. We talked a few weeks ago about Colby Covington, his issues when he went down, and he called everyone filthy animals. Now, Colby and Werdum, they've got a little bit different story of this. Werdum says that, he yelled filthy Brazilian at him. Covington says he didn't yell anything. Werdum was upset from what happened a few weeks ago. And then he slapped the phone out of his hand, and then Covington kicked him. And that's when the boomerang comes into the picture.
And isn't that just the greatest thing? Covington, instead of stepping up to him like a man. He gives him like a low leg kick. And then he presses charges. I'm like, are you kidding me? He's gone full on WWE slimy heel. He's almost a better version. He's a better version of The Miz than The Miz.
Did you not like that? Did you not like him pressing charges, though? I mean, the guy who says, like, you know, who talks so much trash and then finally when it comes down to it, he gets a boomerang thrown at him, which, by the way, it can be used as a weapon.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't want a boomerang thrown at me.
We'll give it a try next time you're back.
Yeah. And then he gets charges pressed, or he presses charges against Verdum, which Verdum is like, look, I can't believe this guy. We should have settled this. You know, we're fighters. Did you watch any of the news that were covering this, though?
Yes.
So, like, the Australian news programs that were covering, you know, some boomerangs, some fighters that got into an altercation and threw a boomerang.
Yeah, and they just talk about it like just like regular guys, which is good for us. You know.
So that is, like, super UFC. Yeah, I can't imagine anyone else, you know, being in a fight over a boomerang.
Yeah, and MMA gets a bad enough rep as it is. So having them just talk about it like it's just two regular guys fighting, it's actually a good thing. Because apparently the sport has had some trouble getting sanctioned and legalized in Australia. So giving it an even worse name than it already has, bad move by these two guys.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to have even more problems because you have boomerang fight going on between the fighters, which are not even anywhere near the same weight class. So Verdum has to go back to Australia on December 13th. He's got to be back in Sydney on a common assault summons, as a result of the boomerang altercation. Colby Covington, not sure if he has to go back, but he does have to be a part of make a statement.
Verdum says he's going to take his family and have a nice little vacation. And, you know, the sad part is it's kind of ruined it for the rest of the guys who probably would have had, you know, childish guy boomerang fights if they hadn't got in trouble this time for throwing boomerangs. Because you're in Australia, what do? You horseplay, you jack around. Someone was going to throw a boomerang anyway, and now you can't touch the boomerang.
I could totally see the Diazes, though, like, fighting with boomerangs. Like,
yeah,
that's like,
exactly.
If anyone is going to fight with a boomerang, it should have been the Diaz brothers. So, Eddie, you get to fight night. Every single fight on the main card went to decision. Now, I'll be honest, Eddie, I didn't watch it. I had been driving all day. I got to our place here in Destin, Florida. I finally was able to catch up. I watched the Verdum versus Tybura fight, and I'll be honest, I didn't enjoy it that much. It was kind of boring.
You know, it was long, I give you that, but I got to disagree with the boring part. The
Verdum-Tybura fight was not boring?
Well, I caught the last three fights after a day of college football, Texas finally winning a big game. I caught the last three fights live, so Muhammad beating Means, which, by the way, gave me the win for the week. That was a close split decision. Jessica Rose Clark getting the upset over Beck Rawlings. That was two Australian, I guess, sweethearts. And then Verdum Tybura. I wouldn't say it was boring, just because as heavyweights, there's that anticipation you have of the one-punch knockout. It's always there. So throughout the whole 25 minutes, you're kind of just paying attention because you know it could happen at any moment. And the way that these two fought, they weren't really showing much respect for each other's power. So that really made it a little more interesting. So the anticipation of the knockout was there the whole time. But it never came.
How about this? Why was there five catchweight fights? So you had the Nadia Kassem versus Alex Chambers. That was a catchweight fight at 120. You had Frank Camacho versus Damian Brown, catchweight fight. You had Brian Benoit versus Ashkin, Mokhtarian. That was a catchweight fight at 129. Alexander Volkanovski versus Shane Young. And then Jessica Rose Clark with Beck Rawlings. And I heard that, Jessica Rose Clark, Ryan Benoit, Frank Camacho, and Nadia Kassim all missed weight, and they all won.
Well, there's something to be said for not having to put your body through those extra few pounds. But I think a lot of it has to do with just the distance. That's a long plane ride. And the jet lag and just putting your body through that. Except for Jessica Rose Clark, none of those people that missed weight were from Australia. And Jessica Rose Clark, she took the fight on short notice. So that's pretty much gives her an excuse. She still has to give up 20% of her purse, but that gives her kind of an excuse.
I actually think it was 30% of their purse.
Was it 30?
Rose Clark and Benoit forfeited 20%, Camacho and Kassem forfeited 30%, which is crazy.
Probably because they were more than 3 pounds over.
And they're not making that much money anyways, those guys. So
that's not a lot.
It's not good to give that much up. So the one thing I do want to call out, Eddie, is Will Brooks.
Yeah.
So Will Brooks, he joins UFC after, you know, being the Bellator lightweight champion.
Mm-hmm.
He joins back in 2016. His first fight against Ross Pearson, he wins that as a unanimous decision. In the next three fights since then, you've got Alex Oliveira, Charles Oliveira, and now Nick Lentz. All three losses. So he's got three losses in a row. He's 1-3 since joining the UFC. He's someone that I had high hopes for coming to the UFC.
Yeah, and now the question is, what do you do with him? You know, do you let him go after these losses? He's still sort of a name, but he's got a lot of baggage to him now. Would Bellator want him? Well, UFC doesn't care if Bellator wants him or not. But does UFC want to give Bellator someone who could rebound and become a big name? Does Bellator want him, having come off a losing streak in the UFC? That really doesn't do much for them, especially if he goes back to Bellator and starts winning. You know, maybe the PFL? I don't know what you do with him.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm not exactly sure kind of what you would do. But obviously his opponent, Nick Lentz, did you see his call out after the fight when he called out Dan Lambert and the rest of ATT?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting because he said, you know, he won that $50,000 bonus, and this actually comes from ATT. And he said that after that, he pulled out that UFC 216 fight against Will Brooks. A lot of them were talking trash about how he couldn't, you know, that he was scared of Will Brooks. But he said that he would challenge anybody that fights at ATT, which obviously, you know, Tyron Woodley's there, Dustin Poirier, guys who've just, so, you know, he's got some issues. And he felt even worse that it was, he said, you know, old family talking about him like that. So, you know, he doesn't like that he felt his old family threw him under the bus. So, yeah. So Eddie, let's go back.
Well, and the words of Stone Cold Steve Austin, don't trust anybody.
That's true. So, Eddie, let's go back to the main event, Werdum versus Tybura. Tybura obviously loses that decision.
Mm-hmm.
It's really 5-0. One judge gave him one round. Does Werdum do enough to get into the title picture?
Well, I think he really does. I mean, he's been so active. I mean, what other heavyweights have you really seen in the last couple of months? I mean, Overeem we're going to see soon.
Yep.
So then Kane is MIA.
We haven't seen for a while.
Ngannou and Overeem we'll see. Mark Hunt, he's not in the title picture. Derek Lewis, maybe with another win or two. So really, it's the winner of Overeem, Ngannou, and Werdum. So to me, if Overeem wins, it's Werdum, because we just saw Overeem get knocked out more recently, I guess.
Yeah, but we also saw Overeem looked better against Stipe than Werdum did.
Right, but his loss was more recent. But if Ngannou wins, it's Francis all the way.
So the one thing I can say is that, you know, Werdum still, I can't imagine that Werdum is all the way in good graces with the UFC. There was that incident when they wanted him to come in and fill in and fight Junior Santos, and he wasn't able to do that. He wouldn't take that fight. And I think that kind of got him in the doghouse, which is why, you know, last month, you know, when he fought, who was it, Walt Harris?
Uh-huh.
He fought Walt Harris when he was supposed to fight Derek Lewis on short notice. And then right after that, he took this fight against Marcin Tybura when Mark Hunt had to come out of the fight. So hopefully maybe he's back on good graces.
Yeah, he's doing his best to make up for it.
To do with that. I think it just has to do with what the UFC thinks of him right now and if they're going to be willing to give him that fight. But you're right. I mean, I think it's either that or Overeem versus Ngannou. But in the next round, Eddie, I do have kind of a wild card I want to throw out there.
Oh, all right.
Mark Hunt, you mentioned earlier. Mark Hunt is actually in Las Vegas right now and meeting with, I think it's with, you know, their doctors out there, like maybe the Cleveland Clinic, in order to talk about brain injuries. You know what happened last time? He was supposed to be fighting on this card.
Right.
And this is when they removed him because he said he was having problems remembering things, short-term memory loss, slurring words. And so it's interesting. Mark Hunt, who didn't want to go out there, the UFC has now flown him out there, and they're going to study and see what they can do. And I got to say, you either clear him or you release him.
Yeah. You know, really can't do much more than that. If you don't feel comfortable letting him fight after these examinations, you got to let him go. And it'll be on his own. You know, will Bellator be brave enough to pick him up? Probably. I mean, he'd be a great... Oh, yeah. Imagine him being an alternate in the Bellator Grand Prix.
Speaking of alternates, Shane Carwin wants to, well, a few people who want to be alternates, Roy McDonald, Lytton Vassell. But Shane Carwin also wants to be an alternate for the Bellator, you know, heavyweight Grand Prix or the heavyweight tournament.
Yeah, and to which I say, hey, Shane, why haven't you been fighting the last 7 years?
He's a firefighter.
Well, yeah, because all of a sudden
he's an engineer. Excuse me. No, he's like a straight up engineer.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, but all it's kind of like the GSP against Bisping thing. He sees a flawed field and he's like, hey, I got a shot here. Half those guys aren't even heavyweights.
No, that's true. So no, he'd be fun to see him in there. So.
It would.
All right, Eddie. So that's last weekend. Let's come back. Let's play a little bit game of What Up With That, and we will be right back. You're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and HornFM.com.
Well, sit on down and tell me what up with that. Ooh-wee. What up with that? What up with that? Ooh-wee. What up with that? What up with that? He said, she said, we said, me said, what up with that? Who knew you knew, said what voodoo, what up with that? What up with that? Yes,
sir. Jordan, did you get a chance to catch Chance the Rapper on Saturday Night Live this last weekend?
You know, Marlon and I, we watched the opening of, like, the monologue.
Oh, then you caught the worst part.
Is, like, he cannot sing. He's not a very good singer. He can rap, but he's not good at singing at all.
Hey. He's not Chance the Singer.
That's true. He is Chance the Rapper.
Yeah.
No, but people said, like, he owned it and, like, won it for the year. And I didn't see the sketch.
He's a pretty decent actor. His sketch where he plays a hockey reporter.
Okay.
That was really funny.
That's the one.
Yeah. That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a bad showing. I got about three others on my DVR I got to go back and catch up on. So I'm not going to try and discuss those. But what we're going to do is play a little game of What's Up With That.
I love it. I love What Up With That, Eddie.
Yeah, and I will try to keep my face in front of the microphone. How about that?
Great.
Okay.
Am I not doing that?
No, I'm not. I'm just bouncing all over the place back here. All right, so enough of that. Let's get into it. Daniel Cormier versus Volkan Ozdemir was rumored to be happening at UFC 220 in Boston in January. But it seems like that is a small chance it might not happen. What's up with that?
That's right, Eddie. Earlier this week, Ozdemir, he was arrested for aggravated battery in a bar fight. And rumor has it that he left the guy that he knocked out for over 10 minutes. So he left the guy unconscious for over 10 minutes, which doesn't even seem realistic. But also, you got to remember that this guy packs a punch. This guy is called No Time for a reason.
Wait. So everyone else in the bar just left him laying there for 10 minutes?
I mean, I don't know.
I find that hard to believe.
It did happen in Florida, but, you know, contrary to popular belief, I was not at the bar. And so...
Well, get out there and investigate.
Second degree felony. And, you know, Ozdemir was released after posting a $10,000 bond. Now, the UFC made a statement that they were aware and looking into it more. But, you know, I can't imagine he's going to be on that January pay-per-view card. But not sure where that kind of leaves us with Cormier.
You know what I'm starting
Cormier
to think?
Came out this week. I was like, Cormier came out this week and he said that he'd be willing to fight Gustafson or OSP if that fight needed to happen still. For me, I would actually love to see Daniel Cormier fight Stipe Miocic. And I said that in the last round that I would like to see. You know, we were wondering who could fight Stipe next. Daniel Cormier... He's a former heavyweight. He was the former heavyweight Strikeforce heavyweight Grand Prix champion. He's undefeated at heavyweight. He's got wins over people like Frank Mir, Josh Barnett. I'd like to see him fight Stipe Miocic. I think that would be a good fight. So what do you want to see Cormier?
It would be really interesting to see if Stipe's wrestling could hold up against Cormier's wrestling pressure. Because, you know, Cormier is known for throwing guys all over the ring, but they haven't been as big as Stipe in a while. He's getting a little older, a little slower. Stipe, and he's getting more and more confident, better with his hands. So it would be a great matchup. Be fun to watch. But for me, I wouldn't mind seeing our favorite British light heavyweight, Jimmy Manawa. Because I think it seems like Gustafson might not be... It seems like Gustafson might not be ready for a little bit. And if you're going to do a super fight like Cormier versus Miocic... You want to save that for a really, really big event, not just a random thing in Boston. So maybe like International Fight Week or something like that.
Well, I think if you're going to do International Fight Week, there's one person you want to fight, and that's Conor McGregor. So I don't think you have to worry about that. But
well, that's usually usually double up.
Jimmy Manoa just fought. He just fought Volkan Ozdemir at UFC 214, and he lost. So he's coming off a loss.
Jordan. This is the IMG era of the UFC. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but Jimmy Manoa doesn't fit into the IMG era of the UFC. He's not a guy who's going to sell pay-per-views. And I don't know if you remember this.
Neither does Daniel Cormier.
Jimmy Manoa doesn't sell fights. So you
and neither does Volkan Ozdemir.
There is some sort of merit that has to happen, and I don't think that Jimmy Manoa, you know, hits that merit.
Well, speaking of that merit, let's see how you merit this one here. UFC 219 finally got a title fight when they announced Cyborg versus Holly Holm, but could there be a second title fight? Apparently, the UFC website still shows TBD versus TBA as the main event. What's up with that?
Well, first off, TBA versus TBD, it's one of my favorite fights. It's two, you know, different styles.
I mean, they're so evenly matched.
Yes. So, anyway, no, late last week, Eddie, this fired you up. We heard rumors that were later confirmed by UFC welterweight champion Tyron Woodley that he was offered and he accepted a fight against Nate Diaz at UFC 219.
Wait, not Nick Diaz.
This is Nate Diaz, not Nick Diaz. Nate Diaz.
Not the welterweight brother.
Who last fought against Conor McGregor at UFC 170, and he lost. That Nate Diaz. So.
And that's why I say the Manoa fight could happen easily.
Yeah, again, Nate Diaz is a draw. Jimmy Manoa is not a draw.
I'll give you that.
Tyron Woodley has already signed the contract.
And that's why he signed it so quickly.
It's still going to happen. And he says he's training like that fight's going to happen, but he is now waiting until Nate Diaz signs it. And we also heard that Nate Diaz was already getting back into training camp, that he was ready, and that Nate Diaz fans would be excited for his next fight. But for some reason, he still has not signed the contract.
Why would Nate Diaz fans be excited about Woodley? I don't think that fight's ever happening.
When Nate Diaz beats Tyron Woodley, then you put up the welterweight champion, Nate Diaz, versus the lightweight champion, Conor McGregor, and Conor McGregor gets another belt.
I see that point, but I also know how the Diaz brothers fare against strong wrestlers, and it is not good. So why, again, would his fans be excited about this fight?
Well, it's just seeing Nate back there. Nate obviously probably wants too much money. Last time Nate Diaz fought, though, Eddie, at welterweight, besides the two Conor McGregor fights, back in 2011 against Rory McDonald. Ooh. And I think if you remember that fight, I mean, Rory McDonald ragdolled Nate Diaz. I think it was like the rolling suplex, the rolling German suplex that we see in WWE.
That's exactly my point.
He did like three of those to him. No, I agree. It's probably not a great fight for Nate, but anything could happen. And think about, you know, if Nate Diaz loses to Tyron Woodley, does he lose bargaining chips against Conor McGregor or with IMG? The one problem is, though, is that, you know, Nate Diaz is in a lawsuit issue with his management team, a previous team, about payouts for that Conor McGregor fight. So Nate Diaz might need some money.
That's a good point, too. So it's possible, but like I said, I don't think it's going to happen. But that's just me. I actually think Manoa versus Cormier has a better chance of happening than Diaz-Woodley.
Well, you have a chance there. The fact that Tyron Woodley has already signed the fight and they're just waiting on Nate Diaz to sign it probably has a little bit better of a chance than that for that fight happening. But we'll see.
Let me tell you, Jimmy Manoa would jump as quickly as Woodley did to sign that fight, and Cormier really wouldn't have an issue with it. They'd sign faster than Nate Diaz.
Yeah, but I think Book OSP, it. If anyone's going to get that fight, it's going to be OSP.
And he would sign it very quickly, too. And I'm for that, too.
OSP is coming off. Yeah, you know, OSP's coming off some wins.
Yeah.
You know, Gustafson, he'd take that fight. I think OSP gets that fight before they offer it to Jimmy Manoa.
All right. Well, let's see what happens. It's all interesting and fun to watch. The Ultimate Fighter is back, and I know you're thrilled. And this time, they have another twist to it. So seeing as you're going to be sitting on the edge of your couch watching the whole time, tell us what's up with that.
Yeah, I probably should have asked you this because I know you watch The Ultimate Fighter every single week. I can't even tell you, you know, I think we're, a week and a half away from The Ultimate Fighter finale when they crown a new strawweight champion. Is it strawweight? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
It's flyweight. 125.
Yeah, actually, I haven't watched it in a few weeks.
I have no idea who's going to be fighting, who's even in, you know, this time. So, but the UFC announced that they're coming back with season 27. They're starting filming in January. We don't know who the coaches are. We don't know when it starts. But they're going to be undefeated fighters. So they're looking for a call out for undefeated fighters who are featherweight, lightweight, or welterweight divisions. Eddie, does this pique your interest at all that they're bringing up people that have undefeated records?
Well, it gives it a little more cachet, seeing as the guys probably deserve it more than some of the people they've had recently. And not to disparage the women, but they've had some real they've had women with basically losing records in there lately. That doesn't do much for your show, you know. So it does help a little bit, but I'll likely only watch the beginning fights and then the end. The drama's much less fun when it's a bunch of guys.
Yeah, the only thing that I would say, Eddie, is that if you're an undefeated fighter, you've got to think that your opportunity to come to the UFC is going to be there soon. And so I don't know if you really want to go on The Ultimate Fighter to join the UFC because of that contract that you're going to have to start with if you win. So I just think if you're an undefeated fighter, you're probably already on the UFC's radar, and this may not be the best way to go. Andrew Craig, for example, he was undefeated in Legacy at the time, and he came to the UFC outside of The Ultimate Fighter, and sometimes you think that's, you know, almost a better way.
Oh, definitely. But I guess that's why they have it open to three different weight divisions right now, huh?
Well, yeah, true.
Yeah. All right, now, let's see. You mentioned him earlier, but Stipe Miocic has long been wanting to renegotiate his contract. So what's the latest on this? Is it going to get done? What's up with that?
Yeah, I hope so. So we mentioned it earlier. Verdum gets a win last week. You got the Overeem and Ngannou fight that's happening at UFC 218 on the 2nd of December in Detroit. Somewhere in there, you know, I mentioned Daniel Cormier, but somewhere around there you're going to get the next winner, the next fighter and contender for the UFC heavyweight belt. But the champion, who hasn't fought for a while now, back in July he said that he wasn't going to take a fight until he got a new contract. He was obviously bummed out. He was not happy that Alistair Overeem made more money than he did in his fight in Cleveland.
Yeah.
For Stipe, who brought those people to Cleveland. And so Stipe's management team said that things are moving forward. Stipe's come out and said that he thinks that he's going to be fighting back early 2018. So it sounds like we're almost there, that they're going to get this contract worked out. And we should see Stipe back in the cage defending his title.
Well, it's about time. Hopefully it'll be before the summer. So maybe we can get one, you know, in the winter, and then another one in the summer.
That'd be great. I'd love for that. It's always fun to see the heavyweight title contended.
Exactly. Can't be the baddest man on the planet sitting on your couch. Well, you can. No one's going to take it from you. But now, speaking of take it from you, John Jones is back in the news. What's the latest on his failed drug test? What's up with that?
All right. So John Jones, we know that he failed an out-of-competition test right before his fight at UFC 214.
Right.
That fight overturned. The win now becomes a no contest. John Jones and his people, they say that he unknowingly took a substance. Eddie, you try to say that he was framed for something. That has not been proven yet.
The timing.
John Jones.
You know, let me tell you this. I would not be surprised right now to find out that Daniel Cormier was behind this and the Volkan Ozdemir guy.
Unbelievable.
I mean, the timing of it makes no sense. The amount of what he put in his body at the time that he put it in makes no sense. It wouldn't have helped him. Anyone that had been doping would know that. So it just sounds like an accident to me. They just don't have any proof of it. It's just the dumbest thing ever.
Ludicrous.
Exactly.
It's ludicrous what you're saying, Eddie, that in no way is that a real thing. And you shouldn't even, you know.
Nothing makes sense.
Daniel Cormier is behind the Volkan Ozdemir battery as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Some guy to go give up on. Oh my.
Yeah, yeah. He wants to fight Manawa instead.
I'm sure. Maybe you're behind this. So, John Jones, he was granted a continuance in his doping case with the California State Athletic Commission, and he won't have a hearing until February. So originally it was supposed to be December 12th in Sacramento, no longer happening then.
All right.
It is now happening in February. Don't know the exact date, but he will go in front of the commission, and he will have his day in court to find out, you know, what, why he tested positive for Turnabol, and see if he can prove that he didn't, you know, knowingly take that substance. But I can't imagine, man. This is his second, you know, positive test in the span of 2 years. They've got to throw the book at him.
Unless they find out that something was up.
Well, we'll see.
I'm just saying, it just makes...
be able to prove that by now.
Yeah, and this gives them more time to run their investigation.
All right.
So who knows what could happen between now and January?
Well, obviously, if he couldn't figure it out by now, he's having a hard time proving something. So I can't imagine it's going very well on the John Jones front.
I kind of agree. But hey,
all right.
Daniel Cormier is no idiot. They've hidden the evidence pretty well.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, and just
say that the UFC did it.
No, they got too much money to lose. Cormier did it as a contingency to keep his title in case he lost. If he won, he could say, "See, I beat him, and he was even on something." But he lost.
Daniel,
it's like,
Cormier,
hey,
obviously, you know, John Jones needs to pick better friends because someone in his inner circle, you know.
That's what I'm saying.
He's out of that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see. All right,
no,
I've got some new fights for you.
Wait, before you do that, just want to tell you guys that you know the 30 for 30 series on ESPN? They also have a podcast, and they've got one up now about UFC 1. So if you guys are interested, go and check
Brett
that
Akimoto
out.
Talking about that.
Huh?
I saw Brett Akimoto tweeting about that.
Yeah. And if that doesn't sound like fun, I don't know what does.
Okay, well, good.
Yeah.
All right, can I give you some new fights now?
Give it to me.
All right, Eddie. So we mentioned Chris Cyborg versus Holly Holm. Right now, the main event at UFC 219, they finally got it done. That fight is happening. But also at 219, we talked about Dominic Cruz getting injured. I think he broke his arm.
Yeah.
John Lineker is in to fight Jimmy Rivera at UFC 219, December 30th. Ronny Yahya, he was injured at his fight against Aljamain Sterling at UFC Fresno. Marlon Moraes, who's fresh off his victory over John Dodson, he's stepping in on short notice to fight Aljamain Sterling. You've got Kat Zingano fighting Ketlin Vieira. John Vellante fighting Francimar Barroso at UFC 220. And then Michael Chandler not fighting again for the rematch for the Bellator lightweight champion. He's actually going to fight Goti Yamuchi.
Man, that makes no sense.
Bellator 182. So,
what's up with that?
I can't imagine why that is happening.
I guess they figure they've got a better spot to put that fight in. You know what? I have no idea. Let me just hit the music.
I want to see that fight happen again, Brent Primus versus Michael Chandler, but I guess we'll see it when we see it. So, Eddie, that's the new fights, and that's, Eddie, is what's up with that.
Well, sit on down and tell me what's up with that.
Ooh, you're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn. We'll be right back. Coming to you live this weekend from Shanghai, China. UFC Gaslam versus Bisping. About 2 in the morning our time. Jordan, I know you're going to be up watching this one.
First off, Eddie, I'm a little disappointed. I thought you were going to use Michael Bisping's song, Blur number, song number 2. What's up with that? Why aren't you playing that song?
You know what? Let me. You should thank me right now. That song sounds horrible in the headphones.
All right. Well, I don't want to hear, you know, I don't want my ears to be blown up.
Yeah. You don't think of Blur as being a bassy band, but there was way too much bass in that.
All righty. So this fight in Shanghai, first fight on mainland China. Eddie, who was supposed to be fighting in this main event?
Why you got to take it there?
I mean, I'm just wondering. I mean, I know you mentioned that, you know, you think about pre-broken leg by Chris Weidman and post-broken leg, which was done to him by Chris Weidman.
ABL and BBL, and it just happened on Chris Weidman. He didn't do it. It's not like he was in the calf crusher.
Silva failed a drug test.
Right.
Who's now trying to figure out how to get to the bottom of this. I'm waiting to see.
No, he didn't actually refute it in his statement. He just said he'll be back. But never did he say, hey, guys, I didn't do this, which caught me by surprise.
I'm trying to figure out why this test came back this way, though.
What do you mean?
He's trying to figure out why he failed, though. He didn't say, I didn't do it, but he is going to try to figure out why he failed. I'm just waiting for his next, you know, excuse to come out of. You know, we saw the last one. You know, him and John Jones have the same friend.
You know, this isn't the Jordan pick on people night. This isn't your hour to pick on people. This is time to preview UFC Shanghai. As it is.
Giving news.
As it is right now. That was news last week.
All right. All right, Eddie. So, Michael Bisping, Kelvin Gastelum in the main event of, can I say a terrible card?
Sure you can.
That is not for us in any sort of a way.
I think there's like 10 people making their UFC debut.
I mean, I can't imagine, Eddie, I will be watching this fight card.
You don't want to see Ping Yuan Liu versus Bharat Kandar?
Nope. Wang Wan. I'm not going to watch him fight. Alex Caceres. Muslim Saikov versus Alex Garcia. Nope. Even Chase Sherman, who I like, the Vanilla Gorilla.
Oh, yeah.
Fighting Shamil Abdurakhimov. I'm not going to watch that fight either. I'm not watching any of these fights, Eddie.
Why didn't they put that one on the main card?
In the middle of the night. It's fighting on Fight Pass.
Well, you know, as Dana White says, this one isn't for us.
I know. I mean, it's a shame because I'd like to see Michael Bisping fight Kelvin Gastelum. Kelvin Gastelum, who has not had an easy fight since coming to middleweight.
No, he has not.
Last fight was a loss to Chris Weidman. He had that no contest to Vitor Belfort that was originally a TKO knockout.
Mm-hmm.
He had the Tim Kennedy win before that. But, you know, Gastelum, that's three former champions in a row after he fights Michael Bisping. And this former champion, you know, just 21 days after being the champion.
Now, here's the question. You know, I'm not so much worried about Michael Bisping's overall health fighting 3 weeks later. I mean, football players have had three games by now. But has his eye healed from getting punched in the eye by George St. Pierre? That's the question.
Well, I mean, has his eye healed in general? But
no.
The real thing is that he was on a 30-day suspension from the doctors, and he's actually fighting 21 days later. So the doctors say, hey, you can have no contact. So not only is it no contact, it's literally you're in a fight. That doesn't make any sense. And obviously we know that if a doctor will clear you, they will let you fight. Now, Michael Bisping has come back and said that, hey, I'm fine. Emotionally, I'm upset about the loss, and I want to get that one back.
And that's understandable. And like I said, football players play every weekend, and that's like, you know, 15 car crashes a game. So I'm not really worried about...
Many of them are concussed.
Let me tell you, more than you think, and more than they know right now. Hell, I did it when I was in high school. And let me tell you, I'm still suffering that stuff.
Sure. I sometimes think, Eddie, that you're concussed when you come talk to me, you know, about Jimmy Manoa and, you know, Daniel Cormier planning this failed drug test on John Jones.
No. Manoa wasn't planning, Cormier.
I think that is a concussion-related symptom that you're saying. You're speaking these things.
Hey, I could be crazy.
Kelvin Gastelum, that's true. Kelvin Gastelum, Eddie, has come out and said that he was surprised that Anderson Silva failed his test, but he feels this new fight is actually a bigger fight.
Well, yeah, you've got the guy who just lost the belt. I mean, a month ago he was on top of the division. Anderson Silva should have been retired a year ago. So yeah, it is a bigger fight. And for his own rise in the ranks, yeah, it's better for him. I gotta agree.
So how do you think this fight goes, Eddie?
You know, I just think Gastelum is too fast, too good a wrestler for Bisping. Bisping's going to try and outbox him. His biggest hope, his best hope, is for it to go into deep water. If it goes into the third round and beyond, Bisping's got a great chance of winning it. But I am seeing it as a probably a Gastelum TKO late second, early third round.
All right. Well, I think I think Michael Bisping could actually get this one done. Michael Bisping, you look back, you know, he does have that win over Luke Rockhold, that win over Dan Henderson. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, this is going to be a big fight for him and a big fight to see if Kelvin Gastelum is really on the rise up in the division, or should he really go back down and drop back down to welterweight.
If he can't beat Bisping, he should go back.
He gets this fight. He wins this fight, and then he goes back, and he gets that final fight of his career in Manchester back early next year.
Yeah. You know, that's the way you got to go. And that's his kind of storybook ending. Now, Jordan.
I like that.
You didn't plan any picks out, but this is my favorite year of the college football weekend. It's rivalry weekend.
Favorite year of the college weekend? Okay.
Sorry. Favorite weekend of the college football year? Told you concussions, okay. Man. It's rivalry weekend. So I have laid out some picks. We've got 7 games. We got a couple minutes here. Let's make some picks.
All right. I'm ready.
We're going to start off with the Egg Bowl, Ole Miss versus Mississippi State. Who you got?
Mississippi State. Where's the game?
I'm not telling you.
Okay.
Or I just don't have it pulled up right now. Pretty sure it's in Mississippi State.
All right. In the Egg Bowl, Eddie, I am taking Mississippi State.
As am I. All right. Texas A&M versus LSU. Both coaches on the
LSU.
Hot seat. Huh? LSU?
LSU.
All right. Same here. Okay. This one's a little tougher. Washington versus Washington State in the Apple Cup.
Well, I do love the Apple Cup, and I'm going to take Washington State.
Dude.
In the Apple Cup.
You're taking my upset right there.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you're killing me. All right. Notre Dame versus Stanford.
Notre Dame versus Stanford. I'm obviously going to take Notre Dame.
Obviously. Alabama versus Auburn. Could we see another upset in the Iron Bowl?
I'm going to take Alabama. It's at Auburn,
yep.
But I do want to take Alabama.
All right. Ohio State versus Michigan.
Ooh, I'm going to go with Ohio State.
Dude. You literally just picked every game the same as me.
Well, Ed, I'm sorry that you wasted everybody's time by making us do college football picks that are super obvious.
Hey, I'm trying to have some fun.
All right, well, instead of having so much fun, Eddie, why don't you just do Kelvin Gastelum versus Michael Bisping? I'm picking Michael Bisping. It sounds like you're picking Kelvin Gastelum, am I right?
It's because you're a sucker. You're right.
Okay, you could have just saved us, you know, 3 minutes doing that. So, Eddie,
no, get out. Tell the people about next week.
All right, Eddie, so next week we are going to be online only. Podcast page only. Texas is playing Florida A&M basketball, and so they're going to be on next week. So we will miss you next week, but we will have awesome an interview, a surprising interview, and we're going to talk about UFC 218 next week, and we'll break down UFC Shanghai. Just Michael Bisping versus Kelvin Gastelum.
And you're basically right. All right, folks, have a happy Thanksgiving. Drive safe, fly safe, and we'll see you next week.
Happy trails to you. Till we meet again.